We begin the current daf from the Shabbos daf Kuf Vav. We begin three lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. And that is, we spoke about the Malacha of Shabbos of Kareah, of ripping something on Shabbos, and that we said that classic Kareah, when you're ripping out of anger or because of a mourning, so that you're going to be Patr, because that's considered Mekalkal. That's destructive, and all the Malachas of Shabbos are only Chayiv if it's a constructive act. When you chayiv for kareya as one of the amalachas of Shabbos, that's only if it's amanas litra, if it's with the intention to then go ahead and re-sow that area, as the Gemara had explained in the previous daf. And if, let's say, it was a lumpy area, which is like a pocket sticking out, that you have to rip it to then go ahead and re-sow it, that is the only time when the ripping is considered constructive, that you're going to be chayiv for a malacha of kareya on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah said that v'cholam akalklam b'turin, it's not just for ripping, but all destructive acts are exempt on Shabbos. And as we said, that the only time you're going to be chayiv for malacha is if it's constructive. So the Gemara qualifies this statement. Tanya Rabbi Vo, Kamed Rabbi Yechina. Kol ha-makalkum b'turin. You're right that all destructive acts on any malacha are going to be exempt from the Isra of Shabbos. Chutz mi-chayiv l'mabir. And that is, although you're not going to be chayiv achatas for an act of makalkal, there are two exceptions. There's wounding and burning. That is, if a person makes a wound in another person, which is makalkal, is obviously a destructive act, he's still liable for the malacha of chayvul. As the Mishnah in Baba Kama on Daf Pezayin tells us that if someone makes a chaval, makes a wound in his friend on Shabbos, he's exempt from paying, and the reason is of the concept of kim lebedirabmine, since he's liable for his life, that he gets killed, if it's done b'mezid or even done b'shoigi, it's something that's machayev in Misa, that he had done the Isser of Chil Shabbos, so therefore you can't get two punishments, so therefore he doesn't have to pay, because he's so to speak paying with his life. So you see that regarding Chavolam, creating a wound, although it's destructive, you're hurting something, there's nothing constructive about that, you're still going to be chayiv. And the same thing applies to Havara, to burning up something, and that is if someone burns up a godish, a crop, and which is a destructive act, he's still liable for Havara, as the Mishnah says over there in Baba Kama, that if someone burns up the godish, the crop of his friend, he's going to be exempt from paying. And that's for the same idea, because he's nidud b'nafshe, since he's liable for his life, for the Chil Shabbos that he did. So Kimla B'Drabani says you can't have two punishments, you have one, you get the greater one. Obviously the greater one is paying with his life than paying for the actual money. So therefore, Rebbe Vo said from this brisa, you see that although we said a klal and not mishnah that all makalkal, all destructive acts are exempt, however, there are two exceptions that you will be chayiv for. So Amalei, Rebbe Yochanan said to Rebbe Vo, puk toni levara, go out and tell your brisa somewhere else, not here. In other words, it's incorrect. Chayiv l'maver ain't a mishnah. The statement regarding creating a wound and burning something is not a mishnah, and that is if it's makalkal, if it's a destructive act as you just described it, both regarding burning up the crop and regarding wounding your friend, that a person will be exempt. That's it, makalkal is always exempt. However, even if you're going to tell me that no, this is a reliable tradition we have, this is a mishnah that says this statement, still I will show you that the cases that you told me of chavala and avara, that although generally they are kilkel, they are destructive, in these cases they are constructive, and that's why you're chayiv. As he explained, chayivul b'tzarech l'kalbi. And then you'll have to say that the act of creating of inflicting a wound is talking about where you need the blood that's coming out of the wound for his dog, and that to give his dog something of the blood. And therefore, although it's makalka, it's destructive for the person that's getting wounded, but it's still a misakin, it's still constructive for the dog who needs the blood. And therefore, that's why you're chayiv. And similarly, maver b'tzorach lafor, you'll have to say that the case of burning up the crop is that you need it for the ashes. You need ashes for something. And that is, generally, old kilkel is going to be pata. As we said, and there's no exceptions. Nafa chavala, nafa avar. Although that we have mishnayos that seem to say that it is going to be something that you're chayiv for, it's obviously told my cases when there is a tikkun, there's some type of constructive purpose, as when you need it for your dog or you need the ashes. Then the Gemara even goes more and asks on Rebbe Vo's statement from this brisa that seems to say that the Chavola and Havar are exceptions to the Klal of Kilkel. However, Vanantanan, we learned in our Mishnah on the previous stop, Kolam HaKalkam B'Turin, all destructive acts are exempt, which includes even Chavola and Mavi, even creating, inflicting a wound and burning up something. And therefore, there's a contradiction. The Gemara is asking this on Rebbe Vo, on the way you're quoting this brisa. These Mishnayos seems to be that it's contradictory to our statement, which generalized and said everything and didn't say besides Chayiv l'mav. So Rebbe Vo answers, Masnitin Rebbe Yehuda, Braiser Rebbe Shimon. It's not a contradiction because they're going to two different Tanoic opinions. and that is when the Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said that Mekalkel b'chabura is pater, and he's the Tana of our Mishnah, and therefore that's why it said a general statement including Ibn Chayyab al-Mavr, because any kilkel regarding a chabura avar is going to be pater. However, the Braisa that we quoted that said that you're going to be chayiv, that was going according to Reb Shimon that says that you are chayiv. And that is because Reb Shimon holds in his Machlokes Reb Yehuda, which is mentioned many times in Masechta Shabbos, that a malocha she'enet tzrich legufa, an act that you're doing on Shabbos that's not necessary for it itself, and that is it only will help you for something else. For example, taking out a dead body from this area. I don't want the hitzah. I don't need it to be there. I just don't want it to be here. It's an indirect activity. On that, Reb Shimon says that you're potter. Therefore, Reb Shimon says you'll never have chayvul amaver that's not mekalkel. You'll never have a wound, inflicting a wound or burning up something that's not destructive. Because even if you take firewood and you burn it up for your pot, that's still kilkel intrinsic to the wood itself. And what is the tikkun? It's only for something else. And Reb Shimon does not consider that a chash of a thing to be chayiv on for the melachos of a Shabbos. In other words, how could you ever have chayiv l'maver being chayiv? So generally you'll say, oh, of course, havara, you're burning up the wood as fuel. It's helping, you're cooking. But that's the malocha shein tzrich legufa. That's not necessary for the wood. It's up the wood. No good is happening to the wood. The wood's getting burnt up, incinerated. That's what's malocha shein tzrich legufa. So obviously, Reb Shimon says that chavola and havara that are intrinsically kilkel are going to be chayiv, as he proves from two different proofs. But that's l'shitasa that he holds, that malocha shein tzrich legufa is pater. So inevitably, the only way you'll have chavola and havara as a chiyuv, as a liability, is only going to be when it's a kilkel, and therefore you see that kilkel by these two cases are chayiv, as the Gemara explains. My time with Rabbi Shimon, what is the reason of Rabbi Shimon that holds that you're liable in these cases of kilkel? We said that kilkel, whenever it's destructive, the acts of Shabbos that you're liable for are only when they're constructive, and here they're destructive. Why chayiv? The reason, as he proves, that these are exceptions. From the fact that we needed the pasuk to permit Mila on Shabbos, and that is, it says in the pasuk u'bayoyim hashmini that on the eighth day, the Gemara says that the word bayoyim is extra, coming to include even if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos. Now Mila is chavola, you're inflicting a wound on the 8-day old child, and even though it's creating a tikkun that it's obviously now he's mekayim a mitzvah and he becomes part of the Jewish nation, however that's still a malocha shein tzrich legufa. In other words, the act is destructive, although the outcome might be constructive, but it's not intrinsic to the act itself that the act is a constructive act. And therefore, obviously, from the fact that we had to permit Mila on Shabbos, as the Gemara says, Hochayvul ba'al mochayiv, obviously, the generally chavala is going to be chayiv, because why do you need the pasuk to say that it's permitted? What do you mean? It's an act of kilkel. The fact that it's a tikkun regarding the fact that he's gemalit, that doesn't help, that he's circumcised, because that's still melacha shein tzrich legufa, that you're never chayiv for. So obviously the fact that we had to permit it, we're saying that although it is an act of kilkel, of destruction, but chavola is always going to be chayiv in spite of the fact that it's kilkel. And that's why we have to permit mila on the eighth day that falls on Shabbos. And similarly, Reb Shimon is going to say the same thing for havara. The asr achman havara gebe bas kohen, that since the Torah forbids burning lead for the daughter of the Kohen on Shabbos, that is if she was Mizana, and the specific way that they killed the daughter of the Kohen is that she has to swallow this hot lead, and they say, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, as the Gemara darshins elsewhere. So therefore, Yishma mino, mave ba'amachayiv. So obviously you learn is that Havara generally is something that's forbidden to do. And that's why we're saying that you can't do it for the Bas Kohen. You would think maybe for to kill her, to be Mekayim a mitzvah of the Chiyuv Misa, you'd be able to do it. Obviously from the fact that it's Asa, what do you mean? It's an act of Kilkel, why is it Asa? Obviously, that Avar Ba'alma is chayiv, that it is something wrong in spite of the fact that it's a kilkel. So that's Reb Shimon's opinion, that we find that these two are exceptions, that although they're acts of kilkel, of destruction, Havara and Chavala, both of them inflicting a wound and burning something on Shabbos, is going to be chayiv. But Yehuda would respond, it's not true. Hasam misakenhu. There, it's an act of constructive act. And that is, again, Reb Yehuda l'shitasai, that he holds that although obviously that whatever the constructive acts of the Havar and Chavala are going to be, it's indirect, that it's a malocha shein tzrich legufa, but Rabbi Yehuda holds malocha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv, and therefore he's going to say that the fact that on some level there's some constructive act to it, in spite of the fact that the act itself is destructive, that it is itself enough to make it liable, and therefore you can't prove that a completely destructive act of kilkel that you're going to be chayiv on. Because these cases, for example, Mila and Havar of the Bas Kohen, they are because there is some constructive act to there, and that's why we have to say either that it's mutter or asa. As the Gemara says, like Ravashi says, The Amr of Ashi, Mali Lesakin Mila, Mali Lesakin Kli, what is the difference to me in regards to being constructive, to rectifying something regarding the circumcision, or to rectify, to fix a keli, to fix a vessel? And that is, this is fixing the person. And therefore, there's a malacha by fixing him, and that's why you're chayiv, because it is constructive. It's not a completely active kilkel. And the same thing goes, mali levashal psila, mali levashal samonim. What's the difference if you're cooking a lead wick, which is the lead wick that the bas kohen, that the daughter of the kohen that was mezana, that acted morally, has to swallow? And what's the difference between cooking the herbs that were used as dye in the malachas of Mishkan? It's the same thing. When you're burning that lead wick and you put it into our mouth, that's done in the derech of bishul, and you're liable for bishul, because again, that's not an act of destruction of kilkel when you're cooking it. Rather, it's a tikkun, and you're creating something that's used for its constructive purpose, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. And therefore, there is no raya, and therefore you're not mechayiv on an act of kilkel, which is Rabbi Huda's opinion. And therefore, that's the resolution of the contradiction that our Mishnah that said that there are no exceptions, you always put on kilkel. That's Rabbi Huda, who holds that there's no proof from these two cases, because there are constructive acts to them, because although they're malacha shein tzrich legufo, he holds that you're chayiv. Whereas over there, that it said that you're going to be chayiv on two acts of kilkel, specifically chayiv l'mah, but that was going according to Rabbi Shimon, that he inevitably had to say that these cases are going to be chayiv, even though they're completely destructive, because they're always completely kilkel, because the only way they could be constructive is when they're ein tzrich legufo, and that he holds you're never chayiv on. So therefore, if the Torah is mechayiv, you must be mechayiv in case of kilka, and those were his two rayas from the case of a mila and regarding havara of the bas kohen, which again is only a raya l'shitasa that it holds malacha shein tzrich legufo is pater, and therefore there doesn't make it constructive from the fact that it's fixing the person or that it's helping for the burning of the bas kohen. So then our Mishnah said one of the malachas of Shabbos that it spoke about was shir hamalabim. The measurement for the Isra of whitening, and it spoke about all these different things, these malachas of Shabbos regarding dyeing and spinning and disentangling. It says that their shear is what's called sit kafel. It's the double width of a sit. And the sit is the measurement between the distance of the index finger and the middle finger. So double that will be the shear that's necessary for all these different av malachas. So the Gemara says that when the different amiram, we want to demonstrate how big this is, Rav Yosef Machvi Kafel. Rav Yosef demonstrated it by doubling up. And that is, he would show that the distance between the index finger and the middle finger, he would show it two times. One, two, and he would show that is the distance, how much it has to be. Rav Chiya Bar Ami Machvi Pashut, he would show it in very simple. What he would do is, he would just show the distance between the thumb and the index finger, which one time that distance is double, is the same as two times the distance of the index finger to the middle finger. And that's, so to simplify it, he would just show like this and show that is the distance for how much of thread you have to do to be chayev on all these different malachas that we spoke about in the Mishnah. Now we begin the next Mishnah, which talks about the malacha of tzeda, of trapping. Behuda Aimer had tzad tzipa l'migdal. Whoever traps a bird into a closet, and that's the way you could, that's considered trapping the bird. But if you would just put the bird into the house, that wouldn't be considered that as if you trapped it, because then it could go out, it could escape, it could move around, it could go out the windows. So therefore, that's not considered trapping unless you put it into the closet. The tzvila bai, so if you put a deer into a house, then you chayv, then you're liable. That's considered that you got it. You trapped it. That's the malach of tzeidan shabbos. I agree to you, Rabbi Huda, that regarding a bird, it's only considered trapped if you have it in the closet. And we continue on to Amid Beis. However, v'tzvi, regarding a deer, it's enough l'gino, l'chatzar, or l'bibarin that you chayv. And if you put it into a garden or to a courtyard, into these enclosures, that's enough to make you liable. That is not like Rabbi Huda that he held, that it's only considered trapped once it gets into the house and then you close the door in front of it. But if you would put it into a garden or to a courtyard, it wouldn't be considered trapped. No, he holds even these areas are enough of getting it closed in that it's considered as if you trapped the deer. He says, not all enclosures are the same. And the general rule is as follows. If when it's in this enclosure, it's still lacking trapping, that is, it would still be hard to get it, to catch, as the Gemara is going to explain, then you put it in your exempt, although you have it in this area, you still don't have it because you couldn't get it. But if it's in this enclosure and it's not hard to get, it's not lacking trapping, then you're going to be liable. That's the criteria to say that if it's in the enclosure, if it's considered trapped or not. So the Gemara brings Tanhos, and we learned in a Mishnah over there, Ein tzadn dogim min habivarim biyamtiv, that you're not allowed to trap fish from fish ponds on Yom Tov, because again, that's Malach of Tzeda. The ain noisel b'nei mezonos, and therefore you're not allowed to put food in front of them because since they're not considered something prepared for Yom Tov, so you can't go ahead and feed them either. Aval tzadin chayev oif, but you are allowed to trap an animal or a wild animal or a bird that is in this bivarin, that's in this enclosed area. V'noisel b'nei mezonos, and you could put food in front of them. Reminu, but then the Gemara has a contradiction. We learned bivarin shel chayis v'shel oifis v'shel dogim. It includes all the enclosures of the wild animals, the birds, and the fish. Ain sad mehem Yom Tov. Then you're not allowed to trap, you're not allowed to capture from these enclosed areas on Yom Tov. And that is obviously that this Brisa considers it that's not considered trap beforehand. And that is if someone would put into the enclosure, that would not be considered trapping it, which is not like the opinion of the Chacham in our Mishnah, and not like the first Mishnah that we just quoted in the Gemara. And moreover, the ain noisel b'nei mezonos, that you're not allowed to put food in front of them. And that is, since they're mukta, because you can't go ahead and use them, it would be considered trapping to go catch it. So therefore, you can't go through any tirch, any effort to go ahead for them, and therefore, you're not allowed to put food in front of them. So therefore, the Gemara says, we have two contradictions. Kasha chaya chaya, kasha oifis oifis. You have the contradiction between the chayas and the oifis. And that is the first Mishnah says that you're allowed to go ahead and take them, that it won't be considered trapping them once they're in the closure. And the second one says that it would be considered trapping and it would be awesome. So the Gemara says, Bishlam chaya achaya lo kasha. I can resolve the contradiction regarding the wild animals, that harib Yehuda harabonim. And that is the opinion that says that you're not allowed to trap them. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, that he says that's not considered trapping it when it's in an enclosure. He holds that to consider the animal trapped is until you get it into a house. If you put it into the courtyard or a garden, that won't be considered trapping. And therefore, if before Shabbos and on Shabbos you're coming, it's in the enclosure, now you can't go ahead and take it out from there. You can't go catch it because that would be considered catching. It's not catched yet. It's not trapped unless it's in the house. However, HaRabban, the one that says that it's that you could go ahead and take it from the Bivar on the Shabbos, that was the Rabban of our Mishnah, who they said that no, putting it into the courtyard itself would be considered capturing it, that it's trapped. And therefore, on Shabbos, if it's in the beaver, it's already trapped. There's no problem for me to go ahead and take it. I'm not creating an Isra of Tzadn. However, Ela Oifas El Oifas Kasha, but however, you cannot resolve the contradiction regarding the birds, because even the Rabbanan, they agree that, as is said in our Mishnah, that putting a bird is only considered trapped if it's in a closet, however in enclosure. It's not going to be considered trapped. And therefore, how could that statement say that you're allowed to go ahead and take it out of the enclosure on Shabbos if, according to both Rabbi Bonan and Rabbi Huda, they said that that's not considered trapped, and therefore taking it from the enclosure should be considered an act of tzedah on Shabbos? So the Gemara wants to say, and if you want to say, maybe to resolve the contradiction, that ha beaver makura, this one is talking about an enclosure that's roofed. Therefore, that's considered like it's trapped already. And that's why in Shabbos you would be able to take it from there because it's already trapped. Can't fly anywhere. Ha beaver she'ain makura, whereas the one that said that you're not allowed to go ahead and take it on Shabbos from the enclosure is talking about where it's not roofed. So of course, catching it on Shabbos is going to be trapping it because up until now it could have flown away. However, you can't say that. V'bayis, the makuru, a house which is obviously roofed, ubein l'rabbanan, ubein l'rabbanan, and both opinions in our Mishnah, both of them say that tzipu l'migdal in l'bayis loy, that a bird is only considered trapped when it's in a closet, but in the house it's not considered trapped, in spite of the fact that the house is roofed, and therefore it's still not resolved. How can you say that you're liable, that it's going to be mutter to take the bird out of the enclosure on Shabbos because it's considered trapped once it's in the enclosure, if both opinions in our Mishnah both say that it's not true? It's not considered trapped unless it's a very closed area of a closet, because if not, it could fly all over the place even though it's roofed. So therefore the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avuna, Hoche, in our Mishnah, B'tzipa Dror Askinen, we were referencing regarding to Tzipa Dror, that is the Mishnah that says that in the house it's not going to be considered trapped in spite of the fact that it has a roof, is necessarily talking about tzipa dror, that it's very easy for it to live in the house just like it would live out in the fields, because it could jump from place to place. As the Gemara says, lefisha inu mekabel maris, it doesn't accept mastery. The Tanya Rebbe Shmuel, as Rebbe Shmuel learned, lama nikra shmo tzipa dror, why is this bird called tzipa dror? Because it lives, that's the word dror, from the word dar, that it lives in a house as a field. And that is really the way we resolve the contradiction before makes sense. And it depends if the enclosure is roofed or not. If it's roofed, it's already considered trapped, and therefore on Shabbos you're allowed to take it. If it's not roofed, then it would be considered trapping on Shabbos. That's why you can't take it from that enclosure on Shabbos. But our Mishnah that says that both opinions agree that it's considered not trapped if it's in a house, even though it's enclosed, even though it's roofed. That's because we're talking about in our Mishnah, a tzipri dror. A tzipri dror, that, yes, until it's in a closet, a very close area, it's not considered a trap because although in the house, generally a bird you can get, this one escapes very easily, and that's why it's called a tzipri dror, because it could be dar, it could live anywhere and not and still be a free bird. And that's why there everyone agreed that it has to be in a closet for it to be considered a trap. Now the Gemara says, "Hashd aslachi." Now that you came to this point where you said that both can be resolved according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, and that it depends if it's roofed or not, and that because the opinion of our Mishnah was talking about specifically tzibah dror, then chaya chaya namalakasha. So now you don't have to say, as we said before, that the contradiction between the opinions of the wild animals was a machlekes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. We could even say that both of them are going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. And that habaviva gadol, habaviva katan, that is the braisa that said in Masechtas Beyah that the one that's considered as not trapped, and that is ain't sudden, you can't go ahead and take it from on a Shabbos, that's someone by a large enclosure. A large enclosure, that would be considered trapping on a Shabbos. But the one that says that it's considered trapped already, and therefore, it's sudden, you can go ahead and take from it on Shabbos, that's someone by a small enclosure. A small enclosure is really like similar to the concept that we created regarding the tzibur dror, that if it's in a small area, then you can go ahead and take it, that's already considered trapped. As the Gemara explains, what is the understanding of this? What is considered a large enclosure that would be considered that you're catching it, that you're trapping it on Shabbos because it could still get around even though it's in one enclosed area? And what's considered a small enclosure that on Shabbos you would be able to take from it because it's considered trapped already because it's a small area? So the Gemara gives three pshatim to explain the difference between the bivah gadol and the bivah katan. Amar Ravashi, kol heichad deroit ba'asrei, anytime where you run after it, umati le bechad shichya, and then you could catch it in one lunge, in one jump, that's bivah katan. That's a small enclosure that you could just jump once and catch it. V'idach bivah gadol, and all the other that are not that in that category would be considered, a large enclosure would be considered trapping it on Shabbos. Inami, a second interpretation is, kol heichad denofel tula diksolam adadi, wherever that the shadows of the walls cross over each other, that is, one shadow will pass over the other, that's bivah katan. That means it's a small enclosure. V'idach bivah gadol, and whatever is not in this area, in this category will be considered a large enclosure and therefore usher to do on Shabbos. V'inami, and the third interpretation is, kol heicha deleka ukti ukti, wherever the area does not have corners, that is, whatever doesn't have that, is bivah katan, is a small enclosure. V'idach bivah gadol, but if it has corners where it could get away and sneak away to, and therefore you won't be able to catch it right away, that's considered a large enclosure. And therefore, that's the understanding of this opinion of these contradictions of chai and chai. It's not a difficulty either, because one's talking about a large enclosure, one's talking about a small enclosure. To which the Gemara continues by quoting the opinion of that's brought in our Mishnah. B'Shim Gamliel Omer v'chuli, B'Shim Gamliel says that he says not all enclosures are the same. Loi kol ha'bivarin shavim, and rather the concept depends if it's lacking trapping or not. That is, although it's enclosed in the enclosure, but if there's still something you have to do to catch it, that would be considered mechusat seida, and that would be asur on Shabbos. Whereas if it's not mechusat seida, that would be mutar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says regarding the statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmul halacha ke Rav Shimon Gamliel. Halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel that you're chayiv only by a small enclosure. That is, that would be considered as if you trapped it on Shabbos, but if you put it into a large enclosure, that's still lacking trapping, that would not be considered as if you trapped on Shabbos. So Amalei Abayas said regarding the statement halacha, that means you're saying that halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, mechalav de pligi, that infers that now those that argue. But we just established right before in this previous Gemara that even according to the Rabbanan, the only way you're going to be chayiv for the animal, for the tzvi, for the deer on Shabbos, is if you enclose it in a small enclosure, which is in essence the same thing that Mishim Gamliel is saying. So what he's saying, halacha follows him. Everybody agrees to this concept. He's just conceptualizing it and saying in this that it depends on what type of beaver. But we agree to that it's only by a small enclosure that you could catch it in one jump, or that the walls, whatever, however the classification of a beaver cotton is. But they both agree to this concept. So Amalei said to Abaya, so my nafkalach mina, so what's the big deal? So that's for sure now that no one argues, and then for sure the halacha is going to follow him. So why are you wondering that? I'm saying the halacha, that sounds like others argue. So fine, so then of course everyone's going to agree to this halacha. So Amalei Abaya responded to him, wait a second. Gemara gummer zimorta tehe, the word, I should just learn the tradition and then I should sing it like a song, and that is I should just say it without if it has no need to it. What do you mean? Why am I saying halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel? If that's the agreed upon halacha by everybody. Well, I'm not just going to say over different words without understanding them, without knowing that there's a purpose for it. The only purpose of saying halacha is like Rav Shem Gamliel is only that others argue. And the way I understand this, and no one argues that that was Abaye's retort, it's not true. You don't have to say this halacha if there's no point to it, and that is just to sing it like a song. So continuing on the theme of our Mishnah of tzad, of trapping on Shabbos, the Gemara brings a brisa. Tana Rabban. Hatzad tzvi sum v'yashin chayiv. If someone traps a deer that's either blind or sleeping, he's liable. However, chigir v'zakin v'chayla patr. If the deer is lame or old or sick, then he's going to be exempt. Which the Gemara asks, "Amalei Abayla of Yosef, Maishnahani, Maishnahani. What's the difference if it's incapacitated that it can't go? So then, either one should be chayav apata. There doesn't seem to be any difference between if it's sleeping or blind that it can't go, or if it's lame or old or sick." So he says, "No, there is still a difference. Although both of them are just laying there and they're easy to catch, there's a difference because hani avidi lirvuye." That's easy for them to slip away. In other words, when they're blind or sleeping, that it could still if it realizes a person is coming, which the animals have that sense, it's going to get away. Although it's blind, it can still run, and if it's sleeping, it wakes up. Hani lo yavid lirvuya. However, these it's not the way for them to be able to escape, and that is since it's old or it's lame or it's sick, it can't get away anyway. So that you're going to be putt because you didn't really trap or catch anything because it was already intrinsically already trapped because of its sickness or because of its elder, because of its age. So the Gemara asks on that, but how can you say that? But we learned that trapping a sick deer that you are liable for. So how are we saying over there in that braisa that you're going to be exempt? So Rav Sheish says, loikash is not a difficulty because it depends what type of sickness it is. Ha, the one that says that you're liable, the one we just brought, is b'chayla machmas ishta, if it's sick because of a fever. Ha, b'chayla machmas uvtzina, but the one that says that you're going to be potter is if it's sick with fatigue. And that is if it just has a fever, so it could push itself. But if it's sick with fatigue, then they can't move from where it is. That's already considered natsid va'imid. It's already intrinsically considered trapped. Then you're going to be potter, but if it's sick with a fever, then you're going to be chai because you still caught it. It still could have gotten away. Continuing on this theme of tzeda, the Gemara brings a braisa, Tana Rabban, Hatzad chagavin, if someone traps grasshoppers or gazin, which is a type of a kosher, at least according to Rashi's opinion, a kosher grasshopper and that's eaten, tsarin or hornets, b'yitushin or mosquitoes, b'shabbos and Shabbos, is chayv is liable, divrei meim. Rachamim, they say no. Kol shebeminei nitzad, whatever is the type of species that's usually trapped, for example, chagavim grasshoppers and these kosher gazin, these kosher grasshoppers, which people capture, they trap it because they wanted to eat it or whatever, then chayv, then you're liable. V'chol she'ein b'minei nitzad, but whatever is the type of species that's not usually trapped, that is, for example, hornets and mosquitoes, no one needs them, you don't usually want to capture them alive, then on that you're going to be exempt. That's not considered the malacha of tzeda that you don't need it. Continuing on the tzeda of chagavim, of grasshoppers and Shabbos, the Gemara brings another brisa. Tanya idach, we learn another brisa. Hatzad chagavim, whoever traps grasshoppers, so it depends. Bishas hatal potter, if it's at a time of the dew, then you're going to be exempt because the dew blinds them. It gets into where their sight comes from, and therefore they're considered intrinsically trapped already because they can't escape anyway. They can't see. They can't get around. Bishas hasharav chayiv, but if it's at the time of the heat where then they could see, then you're liable for trapping them because they could have escaped and you trapped them. Elazar ben Mavayoim, he says, that if they were swarming and coming at one time, or many of them at one time, then you're going to be potter because that's already considered prepared to take because you're going to get them anyways because they're swarming. That's not as if you trapped it. So the Gemara asks on his statement, Ibailu, Elazar ben Mavai, Areshakoi, was it going on the first case that even at the time of the Tal, that it's only if they're swarming and coming, then it's mutter, but if not, it's going to be usher in spite of the fact that they're blind? Or is it going on the case of the Seifa, that is in time of the heat when they could see, that and he's being makel, he's being lenient, and saying that even though they could see and get away, but if they're swarming, then you're still going to be potter. And that the Gemara says, Toshma, we learned, Hatzot chagovim, some of the traps grasshoppers, b'shasa tal potter, at the time of the dew, he's exempt again because they can't see and they're considered intrinsically trapped. B'shasa shav, at the time of the heat, then you're liable. Elazar ben Mavayoim, afil b'shas hashav, he says explicitly that even at the time of the heat, if they were swarming or coming at one time, then you potter because they're all there, you don't have to trap them. That's again, he's going on the last case, which is on the seifa of the heat, and then he's being makel that even then, at the time they come and say, you're chayv, after swarming, you're going to be potter. So the next Mishnah continues on this theme of trapping. So the Mishnah says, Tzvi shenichnas labayis. If a deer enters a house on its own, v'no lech b'fonav, and one person just closes the door, he didn't even trap him, he just closed the door, then he's chayiv because that is the trapping. Now it's locked in there. No lushnayim p'turim, but if two people close the door together, then they're exempt because that's considered in the category of what's called shnayim sh'asu. When two people do malacha together, they're exempt. However, lo yochel echol linol v'no lushnayim, if one person alone could not have closed it, one of these heavy doors, and you needed two people to close it, and two people close it, then chayiv, and then they are liable, because that is the derech to close this door with two people, and each one is considered as if he's doing the malacha, because without him, it wouldn't have been done. That's not included in the category of shnayim sh'asu. However, Rav Shimon holds you exempt even in that case, and that's l'shitasai in Perek HaMetzneah, and that's Tzadik Gimel, where he learns up from the psukim to say that you're exempt by shnayim sh'asu, even when each one on his own could not have done it, still you're going to be exempt, and therefore he holds you apart in this case. So Amr Reb Yirmiyah bar Abba Amr Shmuel, the Gemara brings a statement related to capturing, that putting something in its area, which was like an Ar Mishnah in a house. Hatzad Ari b'Shabbos. If someone traps a lion on Shabbos, Ein Chayiv, he's not liable for the Malach of Tzeda. And that is because even if you're holding on to the lion, that's not considered trapping the lion, because if the lion gets upset, boy, you finish. He'll get out and he'll destroy you. Rather, you're not Chayiv ad Sheikh Nisenu l'gurza kishalei. You're not liable for trapping the lion until you got him in his cage. That's the place where it's protected, where it's the type of a box that he could keep him in. That was when you're going to be chayv at Seidan Shabbos. Up until then, he's not really trapped, in spite of the fact that you're actually holding on to him. So the next Mishnah continues in the theme of the previous Mishnah, that regarding having the deer that walked into the house and closing the door, that that's considered Seidah. Yoshev Echad ala Pesach. If one person stands by the doorway, and this is where the deer had gone into this house, and now he wants the deer, but it's Shabbos, he can't capture it, so he stands in the doorway. But it doesn't fill up the whole doorway, so therefore it's not completely blocked in, it can still get out. But then Yoshev Hasheni below, then the second person stands next to him, and he thereby fills up the doorway that way. Hasheni Chayav, the second one is liable, because he now just captured the deer, because now there's nowhere for it to get out. That was only the second one that caused it. Yoshev Rishon ala Pesach below. However, let's say if the first person stood by the door and he filled up the area. Uvo Hasheni v'Yoshev b'tzidei, now the second person stands beside him. So he's also taking it up, but the first one has already took up the space. He's like, let's say it's a wide doorway almost, and the first one is there. So he blocked it. Now the one that's beside him, also in the doorway. Now, Afa Pisha Amar Harishon V'Halachla, even if the first person leaves, he gets up and leaves, Harishon Chayav Hashein Depata, the first one's liable because he caught it, in spite of the fact now he walked away. And the second one's going to be exempt, in spite of the fact that the first one's not doing it anymore. He's the only one filling up the hole. As the Mishnah says, Halamazah Demidemo, what is this analogous to? In other words, the second person, after the first one leaves, why is he Pater? That's comparable to Lenoyles Beisoy Leshamir, to someone that locks his house to safeguard his house. And that is, he doesn't want to capture anything, he just wants to safeguard it. V'nimtza Tzvi, and it comes out that the deer that was already in there from before, Shamar B'toichi, is protected inside over there. He's not capturing the deer, it was already captured. He's just maintaining the safeguard, the protection of his house. It's the same thing applies over here, that even though the first one left, this one is only like just safeguarding the deer that was already there. He's not capturing it, he's maintaining, not attaining. And that's why, although the first one left, and he's here, and now it's locked in there, he's not going to be chayv. It's like just keeping the door locked. And that's why he's patur, in spite of the fact that the first one left.